We're going to look at an important prophecy found in the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. And we're going to look at what Paul writes beginning in verse 7. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. As far as Bible prophecies go, this is one of the most ominous you're going to find. It's talking about a last day evil power that's destroyed by the brightness of Christ's coming. And if you look up the original language that Paul is using, you'll find something really interesting. He refers to the coming of the lawless one by using the Greek word parousia, which is a word that describes the grand entrance into a room that you might expect from a head of state or a king. What's really interesting about it is that in this same passage, Paul uses that same word to describe the coming of Christ. Dig beneath the surface a little bit, and you'll find Paul suggesting that Satan is going to pull off a counterfeit coming of Christ. And while the evidence for that theory isn't overwhelming in this passage, once you compare it to Revelation 13, there can be no doubt. According to John the Revelator, a last-day power demands to be worshipped and even pulls off something of a resurrection as the wound in its head is healed. The language of the Bible clearly indicates that before Jesus comes, there will be an overwhelming deception designed to con the world into worshiping under the banner of a false version of Christianity. Now, here's what I really want you to think about for today. In recent years, there have been voices in the world of Christianity suggesting that the postmodern world isn't really interested in concepts like organized religion or overtly Christian themes. Of course, on the surface, that might be true, and people have been collecting massive amounts of data trying to prove it. But we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that the ultimate deception, the thing that confuses the whole world, isn't secular humanism or postmodern agnosticism. At the very end, the devil's ultimate strategy will be to use overtly religious tools to try and pull the world under his wing. And when you look at today's passage in the context of the whole chapter, it's obvious that Satan intends to bring his work to an apex by pretending that he is God. So you've got to ask the question, if overtly religious themes won't attract the postmodern mind, why would the devil work so hard for all these centuries on the wrong things? And why would God bother warning us if it's not going to work with the last generation? It should really give us pause for thought. I've traveled the world enough and been in enough environments that were hostile or at least apathetic about Christianity. I've visited enough of them to know that you can still reach people with the gospel of Christ. That's because we were designed for worship and our hearts will ultimately hone in on anything we believe to be God. Which brings me to you. On those quiet moments when you manage to put away the distractions of the world, even for an hour, you can still hear His voice speaking to your heart. If it hasn't happened in a while, you need to make it happen. And then you need to ask yourself what you're going to do about it. Eventually, somebody else will make an appeal to your heart if you don't respond to the one God is making right now. And of course, in the long run, many people are going to discover that following God's call now was just a better way to live.